We're doing Drashot Taran. We're up to page Yud Chet in the Machon Shalem edition and page Mem Vav in the Mosad Arab Kook edition. Ve'inei iniach noten haTorah itbarach, zeh hasipur kulo b'tchilat Torato. And the one who gave the Torah, blessed be he, placed this story of the Garden of Eden in the beginning of his Torah. Ki kasher boneh binyan. Because just as the one who builds a building, yitzdech livnot tchila hayesod, he has to first lay the foundation, asher alav yivased, that on that foundation the building will rest. Ken v'tchilat haTorah, so too in the beginning of the Torah, hunach ha'yesod asher nivneta alav haTorah. God placed the foundation upon which the Torah is built. V'hu, and this foundation is, she'en inyanei ha'olam al tzad ha'chiyuv, aval al tzad ha'ratzon ha'pashut. That the concepts of the world are not something that's predetermined. The world doesn't have to exist, like Aristotle said. Must be a world. God couldn't be without a world. No. Hashem willed the world to exist. And this is a basic principle in the Torah. That it's not that God was forced, so to speak, to create a world. For whatever reason, God decided, God wanted to create a world. If the world had to be created, if it wasn't God's will, so then it's very difficult to have the concept of the mitzvos and averos and punishment and reward, because a lot of things are predetermined. But if we say, no, God willed the world, and then God gave us commandments, and God told us how He wants us to live, so then we view the world differently. We're in the middle of a thought. Yeah?
When we say the world, do we mean the earth or the
world? I think the whole world, the whole world. But we're in the middle. We won't finish this thought today. Let's just start the run. V'chihu b'chlalo b'yad Hashem yitbarach, and the world at large is in God's hand, blessed be He, kachomer b'yad ha'yotzer, like the materials, like the raw material, the clay in the hand of the potter who's going to fashion it. V'lazeh, and therefore, being that this is the basic concept that we have to know, that God controls the world, God didn't have to create the world, He wanted to create the world, and God controls the world, so therefore, imeyot shelo ba'u b'inyanei mitzvot yehudei ha'olam haba lesibot nizkarim, even though the Torah does not tell us perform mitzvot for the sake of the world to come, you don't find olam haba in the Torah for reasons that we will mention, says the Ran. Why is it that olam haba doesn't appear in the Torah? So the Ran is going to discuss that. But he says, even though the mitzvot do not speak about the world to come overtly for the reasons we will discuss later, hiniach ze al tzad ha'sipur. The Torah alluded to the concept of the world to come through a story. When the Torah tells us about Adam, Eve, the snake, the Garden of Eden, the Torah is alluding to a concept. Vehu, and that is, shekval bi'er lanu inyan adam harishon, that the Torah already taught us the concept of Adam, she'en kiyum ha'nefesh mitzad kiyum ha'guf, that the soul, we said, was initially created eternal. And the soul would be eternal if not for the body. Not the way people think that, how do you maintain life? If you're healthy, if you're strong, so then the soul will continue to live. No, it's the other way around. The soul is eternal irrespective of the body. That's what we learned from Adam and Chava. We said the forbidden fruit was a fruit that strengthened the body but shifted the balance. The human being went from being a primarily spiritual being to being a being that is more physical, and therefore he has to die ultimately. So in teaching us this concept, the Torah is really teaching us that there's a nefesh, and there's a nefesh that's eternal, irrespective of the body's ultimate decomposition. Ad sheyitchayev shekasher yufsad haguf tifased hanefesh. Meaning the soul is not bound to the body so that it has to be that when the body dies, the soul dies. No, it's two different things. You have a soul and a body, and when the body dies, the soul does not. Shelu hayaken, for if it were so that the soul were bound to the body, and when the body dies, the soul dies, meaning then there's no soul, there's no olam haba, there's nothing to pay to give sachar onish. Hayam itchayev shekol ma sheitchazek ha'ikuf u'mizgo v'kochotav. If the soul were really a part of the body, in that when the body dies, the soul dies, then what would have to be is that as the body gets stronger, sheimashecha chibur shabena nefesh v'aguf, then the soul and the body should fuse, they should bond better. V'nireh ha'inyan b'ifuch, and we see that it's the opposite. Ki nei pri etz hadat, so this is where The first example is the forbidden fruit. But we're going to have to continue this Mizrachim next week. We're in the middle of a thought. But he says that basically the concept of the forbidden fruit teaches us that the body and the soul are separate. And so when the body got stronger by eating the forbidden fruit, as Chava said to Adam, the soul did not get stronger, quite the contrary. The soul was put out of balance. The body got stronger, but in that we also learn that the soul is not bound. It's not really a part of the body. It's a separate entity. And when the body gets stronger, so the soul doesn't necessarily get stronger. In a balance of body and soul, we shift the balance. And this also teaches us the concept that when the body will ultimately die, well, the soul is still going to remain. But that we're in the middle of that. That needs development.